D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we look at the threat to your vote.
God has said, "Thou shalt not steal." And yet, tragically, stealing has become epidemic.
There are those at work trying to game the system to nullify your vote this November.
Every demographic polled says they support voter ID. And yet, all over the country, voter ID laws are under attack.
We'll expose who is trying to steal your vote and what you can do about it today on Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. One of the most important rights and privileges we have as Americans is the right to vote. But that right is being endangered by those who refuse to accept the results of the last presidential election and who want to make sure no such thing happens again. On today's program, we will expose the threats to steal your vote. We will introduce you to some resources you will want to share with others in order to be prepared for the election season. And we will get a biblical perspective on theft. The attempt to steal votes was already well underway in America, but during this time of the coronavirus pandemic, many are concerned it could provide cover for unprecedented voter fraud. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb brings us this report.
Is voter fraud, election fraud, a real problem? Well, of course it is.
The left is trying to take over the country and impose a socialist state on America. If they win this time around, I'm not sure we'll ever get the American freedom we're used to back.
2020 is very important, and we can't sit this one out.
There are many concerns about potential voter fraud in the 2020 election by Americans on both sides of the aisle. Former President Obama even accused conservatives of potentially engaging in voter fraud during his eulogy in late July for Congressman John Lewis.
Even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the Postal Service in the run-up to an election that's going to be dependent on mail-in ballots so people don't get sick.
Is that accurate? Let's consider some of the potentials for voter fraud in the 2020 election. First, there's controversy over requiring photo IDs for voting.
The recent claim by Barack Obama that voter ID laws are restrictive laws intended to suppress votes is just simply completely and totally false. Those laws have been in place now for more than a decade. We have years worth of turnout data in states with voter ID laws. That data clearly shows it does not suppress votes, does not keep people out of the polls. It certainly does not keep minority voters out of the polls.
If it was difficult to get a voter ID, you can say it was a restraint to participation. Well, it's not difficult. And you just think, whether it's taking out a library book, getting on an airplane, you know, buying certain, you know, adult beverages. Yeah, you have to show an ID.
Another concern over the potential for voter fraud deals with counting illegal votes. In his book, Liberty on the Brink, veteran journalist Bob Knight warns against this example of voter theft.
One thing is to allow millions of illegal immigrants into the country, not keep track of them, and then weaken the voting laws. And I go, in the book, I go through a number of ways they do this. They fight voter ID laws, which are very common sense laws, because, and everybody agrees on them. Every demographic polled says they support voter ID.
For years, we have been engaged in a civil rights movement that wanted to make sure that everyone who was eligible could enjoy the franchise of voting. In the last 15, 20 years, we've also balanced it out in making sure that people who cast their votes legally don't have their legal votes canceled out by people who, in fact, cast their votes illegally.
Unfortunately, there are non-citizens who are registering and voting in many areas of the country. It's very easy for them to do it. Election officials don't do anything to certify or check on the citizenship of people registering to vote, and that is a real problem.
Another concern about the potential for voter fraud deals with the calls to abolish the Electoral College.
One of the most direct attacks on election integrity is the campaign to overturn the Electoral College and get rid of it. And the Electoral College was bequeathed to us by our founders in the Constitution for a couple good reasons.
The Electoral College is a process that was put in place to safeguard the safety of the voters and to make sure that every state has a voice and has representation. So if you look at the popular vote versus the Electoral College process, the founders specifically put that in place as a mechanism to protect the smaller states and make sure that they do have a voice in the election.
And using the Electoral College system, it avoids our country devolving into a place to where New York, San Francisco, LA, Chicago would determine consistently who would be the executive in the Oval Office.
Perhaps the most controversial example of potential voter fraud is mail-in voting, not to be confused with absentee voting. This practice is sometimes called ballot harvesting.
In the state of California, the law has recently changed so that instead of allowing people to merely go to the polls or vote by absentee mail, they've changed it so that third parties, either political operations or just grassroots activists, can go house to house and collect absentee ballots to take to the polls. This is kind of colloquially known as ballot harvesting.
In California, after they initiated ballot harvesting, the elections changed considerably. In Orange County, California, that was a bastion of conservative politics. Republicans were elected there very easily for decades. In the last election, several Republicans were leading on election night, one of them by 14%. And then thousands of ballots came in that were harvested by volunteers, usually union leaders. And that swept the Democrats to power in all congressional districts in Orange County. Now, I can't believe that Orange County overnight became a Democratic county, other than the ballot harvesting that facilitated it.
The concern over ballot harvesting or universal mail-in voting was so important that President Trump tweeted about it recently, saying, "With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote?"
What the president was doing was raising awareness and questions about the problems with all-mail elections. And it generated the kind of discussions we want to have, which is to make people aware of the kind of problems you can potentially have with an all-mail election, which, by the way, is also illustrated once again by the current investigation going on in Paterson, New Jersey. They recently had a municipal election there. They switched to an all-mail election. Four locals have already been criminally charged with engaging in absentee ballot fraud. And again, the results there apparently are still in question because of the fraud that occurred in that election.
Indeed, in recent weeks, there have been mail-in voting fiascos, not only in New Jersey, but in New York and in Michigan and in other places.
What the left has been doing, the progressive left, is they've been urging that polling places be closed and that we switch to all-mail elections, which is a very bad idea. We can safely hold our elections with in-person voting. Election officials certainly can do that if they follow the very same safety protocols that all of the grocery stores and pharmacies, retail establishments are using, where we're going every day. And mail-in voting is a very bad idea. It is vulnerable to all kinds of potential problems.
Election 2020 is unbelievably important. So on the sanctity of life, religious liberty, many other issues, the next president will determine the direction of the country for our children and grandchildren, probably for the next 30 or 40 years.
We're facing the most consequential election of our lifetime. The left has deployed a number of strategies to literally steal the vote.
The new book, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote, exposes the many threats to free elections in this pivotal election year.
If they win this time around, I'm not sure we'll ever get the American freedom we're used to back. It's that important.
In Liberty on the Brink, veteran journalist Robert Knight exposes the schemes to undermine free elections and steal your vote.
They fight voter ID laws. One of the most pernicious attacks on election integrity is the idea of getting rid of the Electoral College. This is a real threat to our self-governing republic.
Contact us today to receive your copy of Liberty on the Brink, for a generous donation towards the ongoing work of this ministry.
Each fraudulent vote that is counted essentially negates the votes of others, including yours. Without the integrity of our elections, we no longer have a truly representative government. It's all a part of our sad national decline, as secular elites have pulled America further and further from the foundation of God's law. But we don't have to stand by and let this happen. There is a cure available. Dr. D. James Kennedy gives us the biblical perspective and the redemption our nation so desperately needs in this portion of his message, The Epidemic of Stealing.
God has said, "Thou shalt not steal." And yet, tragically, stealing has become epidemic. Let me just mention a few of the ways in which people break this one commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." Such little things as stealing elections, as a contemporary example. I guess everybody has his own opinion about who is doing that, but you'll notice that I didn't say. Overtaxation, failure to pay taxes, political junkets, gambling and lotteries, shoddy auto and house repairs, looting in blackouts or disasters, ripping pages from library books, stuffing ballot boxes, false advertising claims, profit skimming, vandalism, passing unqualified students, fake insurance claims, borrowing and not returning, and hundreds of other ways in which we have found stealing to become virtually pandemic in America today. We have a national problem, which, of course, like all other problems, eventually is seen to be spiritual. And the fact that the Word of God is not preached, people neither know the law nor the gospel today in so many cases, the results are there. Friends, you cannot do away with the Ten Commandments. You cannot do away with the Bible. You cannot do away with prayer in our schools and in our society and in all of the public square without having the kind of consequences that we're talking about here of just a little bit of one commandment. I cannot tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of people have told me over the years that they believe that they will be accepted into heaven Because they have kept the Ten Commandments. The truth is, we haven't kept one of them. In thought and word and deed, we have broken them all. In omission and commission, we have broken them all. And my authority for that? My authority is someone who has watched your every deed, who has listened to your every word, who has heard your every thought, and that is the second person of the triune Godhead, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, who said, quote, "Did not Moses give you the commandments, and none of you has kept them?" We are guilty, each one, of breaking each one of them. And therefore, we stand in need of the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God. It's amazing how people seem to think that there is nothing wrong and no consequences if you just don't get caught about breaking any of the commandments of God. Well, the Bible says not only are we not to steal, but it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need." So not only are we to be honest, but also we are to be generous, and we are to help others who are in need. By the way, the Bible says a great deal about private property. The communist and the socialists in the past 50, 75 years have done their best to try to do away with it altogether. And yet the Bible, in simply saying, "Thou shalt not steal," guarantees the right of private property to people. Because God knows that we have the need of certain things in this world. Most of us have more things than we know what to do with. So we're looking for new containers to put our stuff in so that we can get it all pushed back in the closet, and then we'll have room to go out and get more stuff. But God knows we need some private property, and so it is protected, and the theft of it is condemned in Scripture. I think of the one man that walked into a bank, walked up to a check cashing window, and pretended to be writing out a check, and when he completed it, he handed it to the woman, and there was on a piece of paper a message that said, "Give me all your money." She gave him the money. He left the bank, seemingly to have succeeded. When she showed the note to the police, he turned it over and saw that it was a check. It was his personal check, with his name and address printed on it. The police were at home waiting for him when he got there. Pretty stupid thing to do. There's no way that you can successfully steal. May I say that again? There is no possible way that you can successfully steal anything. Because the God who is a judge of all of the earth, that sees everything that we do, who is the judge of mankind, and the judge has watched you commit this theft, he knows all about it, and you can't possibly escape. I would like to introduce you to the Lord of Thieves, Jesus Christ. I would like to remind you that the first fruits of his redemption were given to a thief. We call him the thief on the cross. The one hanging next to Christ who said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Ah, dear one, do you know the friend of thieves and liars and cheaters and all of the multitudinous other ways in which we show our rebellion against God? Have you received his mercy and his forgiveness? Christ never stole anything, but he died for our stealing, for our lying, for our illicit sex, for our lust, for our hatred. And he offers to wash us and make us whiter than snow. There is our hope.
As you have just seen, we are all thieves at heart. That is, until Jesus Christ redeems us from our sins. None of us has any virtue of our own to bring with him. We all stand in need of his grace. But as the Apostle Paul asks in Romans, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means, he says. Theft is something odious to God. It is immoral and unjust. Yet we are in the midst of an epidemic of stealing, and it now threatens our electoral process as well. As you've discovered on today's program, there are dishonest people working to silence your voice and take away your vote. How can they be stopped? Well, they can be exposed by the truth and by your action. But in order to defend truth, we must understand what the father of lies is up to and how to counter it. That's why we asked Robert Knight to research and write the book, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. This book is astonishing and critically important in this election year. And we want to send it to you right away as our thanks for your generous donation to help us proclaim truth and to defend freedom at this urgent hour for America. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. In the midst of this coronavirus crisis, we have seen how the left is exploiting it to implement vote-by-mail and other schemes to steal the vote. This concise book shows the left's strategy, featuring chapters on the war on voter ID, the left's money machine, ballot harvesting, and much, much more. Robert Knight shows how the left's ultimate goal is to replace self-government with an all-powerful socialist state in order to suppress Christian morality and dictate how we live and what we can say. It's essential that you get this book to be prepared for the upcoming election. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you the book, Liberty on the Brink, plus our special DVD program, Stealing Your Vote, which includes an interview with Robert Knight, as well as other compelling experts like William J. Federer, Gary Bauer, and Trump legal advisor Jenna Ellis. These key resources are available exclusively from this ministry. You can't find them at the stores. And with the left's effort to steal your vote plowing ahead at full steam in this election year, I cannot overemphasize how important it is that you have this information and share it with those in your sphere of influence. We will send you the book, Liberty on the Brink, How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote by Robert Knight, as our thanks for your generous donation. And for your donation of $50 or more, we will thank you with the book and the special DVD program, Stealing Your Vote. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Jesus once told a parable of the kingdom of God about a vineyard owner who hires some laborers early in the day and then hires others later in that same day. Yet he pays them all the same. The ones who had worked the longest complained at getting the same amount as those who came late, to which the vineyard owner in Jesus' telling says, I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Well, no. At least according to many of today's woke defenders of leftist social justice, in their view, premised on the philosophy of Karl Marx, justice calls for the forcible plundering of the vineyard owner at the hands of government authorities to redistribute it to those who have less. By contrast, the Bible teaches both implicitly and explicitly the right of private property. Like the vineyard owner in Jesus' parables, we have the right to do with our money and our resources as we please under God's law. God does demand generosity from us, but that generosity is voluntary. Indeed, not being compelled is what makes it generous in the first place. With radicals now taking to the streets calling for the overthrow of constitutional government, one thing must be understood clearly. There is no reconciling these two positions. There is no middle ground between state ownership and control and the right of private property. Either we agree with the socialist radicals whose philosophy is founded upon atheism and enshrines envy as a national policy, or we agree with Jesus, who calls theft and covetousness sins against God. God loves justice. He is the author of justice, but he hates envy and resentment masquerading as justice, which is the primary engine driving today's advocates of so-called social justice. This fallacious notion of justice is both unbiblical and self-serving. Something to recall when November brings the most important election in our lifetime. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
We are engaged in a great spiritual war. It is a war literally for the soul of America.
It's a spiritual battle against truth and everything that those who believe in the Word of God stand for.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.